has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Alleluia, thine the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has shorn all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Alleluia, thine the glory. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Could we stand?
Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Alleluia, thine the glory. Alleluia.
All my days,
I'll praise you all my days.
Your
perfect in all your ways.
Perfect in all your ways.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
I will obey your word.
I will obey your word.
Want to see your kingdom come.
Want to see your kingdom come.
Not my will, but yours be done. Glory to the Lamb.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
You take me into the land.
You take me into the land.
We will conquer in your name.
We will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Hail, hail, line of Judah. How powerful you are.
How powerful you are.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
Hail, line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
How wonderful you are.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
You take me into the land. Hail, hail, line of Judah.
Hail, line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
How powerful you are.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
Hail, line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
One more time.
How wonderful. Hosanna, Hosanna,
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name.
Full of praise.
Solid rock than the rock Christ Jesus. He's a sure, firm foundation. You can put your trust in all kinds of things, but He'll see you through to the very end. In Christ alone, there is no other place. Hallelujah. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said, source of all is Christ alone. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every Let's just worship the Lord as we vocalize to Him that we put our trust in You, Lord. In You we put our trust. Hallelujah. In You alone, Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory. Source of hope.
Beth Thatcher has a special. We're going to ask her to sing, and we're also going to ask the ushers to come back, and we'll receive the offering for camp at this time.
When in the spring the flowers are blooming bright and fair, after the gray of winter's gone, once again the lark begins its tuning back in the meadows of my home. Lord, to my heart bring back the spring.
Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4.
I think this is the third time I've preached a different message from this particular passage in the past year. For some reason, I keep going back here. And I go a little bit different angle today. Mark chapter 4, we'll begin with verse 35, and we'll read through verse 41. But 35 is the key verse I want to look at today. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And while you're turning there, I would like to meet with all those that are interested in being baptized in water. I would like to meet with you next Sunday, if I could, just after the morning service, real briefly, if we could meet real quickly up front here, after the morning service next week. So that'll give you a week to pray and think about it, and you decide if you'd like to be baptized or not. If you're interested, you got questions, you're not sure, I'd be happy to talk with you. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And the same day when the even was come, Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Verse 35 again says that when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. The title of the message this morning, Let Us Pass Over. Father, we ask that you would bless your word to our hearts today. And Lord, we pray that you would lead us and direct us in our lives, that in all of our situations and circumstances, we would trust in Jesus Christ, that we would trust in Christ alone. And Lord, we pray that you would lead us maybe even in some crossings in our own life, a place where we can further our ministry and our opportunities. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pass over. You know, the Christian life is a life of crossings. We cross or we pass from death to life at salvation. This is typified by the Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea. They came out of Egypt, a type of the world, and there they left their idols behind, a clear type of conversion. Old things died away, and behold, all things become new. The second crossing was crossing of the Jordan River. They had to cross the Jordan River to enter into the Promised Land. We die to self, and then we are able to go on to the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. Jordan in the Hebrew means going down, subdued, laid low. Actually, it represents death. Interesting, that's where Jesus went to be baptized. And when we identify with him in baptism, we identify with him in his death and in his burial and in the resurrection to be raised to walk in newness of life. And so in a sense, even water baptism becomes a new crossing for us. There are all kinds of crossings in the life of a Christian. And then when someday, if the Lord doesn't return before it's our time to die, we will cross the river of physical death to enter into eternal life. But with each crossing, faith is involved. Faith is involved in each and every crossing in our life. Jesus told his disciples to get into the boat and to cross to the other side of the sea or the lake. There were more opportunities that awaited them on the other side. And we cross many lakes and rivers and seas in our life so that we can confront new challenges in life and in ministry. And maybe some here today, you've crossed and you found salvation. But you know, the Lord wants you to go beyond that. He wants you to take you over the crossing of the Jordan River to a place where you can find the abundant life and the life of fullness in Christ, a place where you'll completely leave the world behind and find your joy wrapped up in Christ alone. With each crossing, faith is involved. Sometimes the Lord wants us to cross just so that we can deepen our walk and experience a newfound trust and revelation of Him and who He is. The disciples, after they crossed, as they were in the middle of the sea and in the middle of the storm, they had a new revelation of who Jesus Christ was. What manner of man is this? Look, the wind and the seas and all of nature listens to His voice and is under His command. Sometimes storms rise up out of nowhere and nature puts us in peril. Last time we looked at this, you probably don't remember, but one of the things we said about it is some of the greatest tests in our life are those tests that come as a result of obedience. This is a test that the Lord puts them through, but they are simply being obedient to the word of the Lord. He says, get in the boat and let us cross over. And as they get in the boat and they begin to cross, they find that a storm overtakes them. Perhaps you thought there would be smooth sailing with Jesus. The disciples probably thought that, well, if we get in a boat with Jesus, what could possibly go wrong? I mean, we're completely safe if we're in the boat with Jesus. And you know, there are many people today, and sad to say, there are many preachers who tell you that if you would just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll have no storms in life. You'll have no problems. Everything will be peachy. You know, everything will come up roses. You know, that is not true. That is simply not true. I will not lie to you and tell you that if you become a Christian, all of your troubles are behind you. That's not true. In fact, many people come to Christ under those assumptions. I've seen them. I talked to Rich Lacey last week. He knows somebody that came to Christ because he was told that if he came and got saved, God would put him back together with his wife. And when it didn't happen, he became discouraged and he washed out in his Christian life. It isn't that what Jesus warned us about in the parable of the sower? Some people, they receive the word with joy, but then when trials and troubles and persecution come, they give up the faith. They give up the faith. Now, I'm not telling you that you will never have any trouble when you become a Christian. In fact, if you became a Christian under those circumstances, you need to go back and you need to rethink that. And you need to come to Jesus Christ for the right reasons. You come to Jesus Christ because you see yourself as a poor, wretched sinner in need of a Savior. You see yourself as one who has violated the law and the commandments of God. And you see yourself headed toward eternal death. And you repent of your sins. And you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then you are saved and you are converted. And you know what? You will hang on to the very end because you're not hanging on to Jesus just for a good time. You're hanging on to Him for eternal life. I will tell you this, that when you become a Christian, you will not be exempt from trials and problems, but you will have Jesus there with you. And that will make the difference. You don't have to go the storms alone. Jesus will be in the boat with you. He'll be in the ship there to take care of you. Almost every page of Mark's gospel, interestingly enough, we pick it up with Jesus. We find a storm going on. We find storms. When we find many times that when Jesus is near, the wind picks up, the waves bang against the side of the boat, and there is trouble. Why? Because the devil fights us. The devil doesn't want us in the boat with Jesus. And yet when we get up in the boat with Jesus and we go alongside Jesus, the devil will fight us, and there will be trials, and there will be troubles. And there might even be those dreaded persecutions that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. But Jesus is there with us. And this passage teaches us that God does hear. Even though Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, when the disciples cried, He heard. God hears us when we pray. God hears us when we cry out to Him. His ears are not dull. He is not deaf. He has an open ear to every word that we whisper to Him. God hears. But not only does He hear, He cares. He cares. He cares about you this morning. The disciples said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Yes, of course He cared what they were thinking and what they were feeling. Jesus cares for you today. You're not going alone. You might think He's asleep and He's not listening, but all you have to do is cry out to Him. He will hear you and He will care. And then He acts. He hears, He cares, and He acts. Mark 4, verse 39, and He arose, and He rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. Look at the action. Three action verbs. He arose, He rebuked, and He said. He said unto the sea, Peace be still. And what happened? There was a tornado. No, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. At these stormy times, the stormy times in your life, you will demonstrate one of two kinds of faith. You will demonstrate either shallow faith or waterproof faith. Either your faith will be shallow or you will have a waterproof faith. After stretching out His arms and stilling the storm, Jesus turned to His companions and He chastised them. He chastened them. He said that they were cowardly, cringing and crying out to Jesus in fear. And because they had did this, they had shown the shallowness of their faith. In fact, the word Jesus that's told about Jesus there, as He said to them, is they had no faith. No faith. Although they had specifically been chosen by Jesus, He said, you, get in the boat. They had been specifically chosen by Jesus, and they were His fellow travelers on this journey. They missed the boat altogether. And I'm afraid that Jesus calls us. We are His disciples. And many times He tells us to hop in the boat and He wants us to learn a lesson and we don't learn the lesson. Instead, we miss the boat altogether on what He's trying to teach us and tell us. What are some of the things that we miss the boat on? Let me share a few of those with you this morning. First of all, we miss the boat sometimes on God's promises. We miss the boat sometimes on God's promises. God will be with us, wrote the psalmist. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Through the prophet Isaiah, God announced, I have planned it. Surely I will do it. Through Malachi, he declares, I, the Lord, do not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He remains constant throughout all the storms in life. God is with us. He is Emmanuel. And that is the great hope of our salvation. God is with us. Don't miss the boat on God's promises. Sometimes we get in a storm. We get in situations. We lose track of the promises. But that is the time that we need to get our Bibles and we need to open them and we need to cling to the promises of God's Word. Don't miss the boat when it comes to hanging on to the promises of God. And then sometimes we miss the boat on our destiny. I want you to know that God does care if you are immobilized by your fear. If you are immobilized by some fear in your life, God does care because that fear intrudes upon His destiny for you. Some people are so paralyzed with fear that they cannot really fulfill the calling of God in their life. They cannot fulfill the ministry opportunities that God wants to give them. They are so filled with fear. During his years as Premier of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and aristocracies of Joseph Stalin. Once he censured Stalin in a public meeting. And I don't know what you think about Khrushchev and his reign there, but certainly he was a communist, but he didn't go as far as some of those that he followed, like Stalin, for example, and some of his colleagues said to him, when you were there and you heard some of these teachings of Stalin, a heckler stood up and said, and since you were one of Stalin's colleagues, why didn't you stop him? Who said that? Roared Khrushchev. And nobody dared move a muscle. And then Khrushchev replied quietly, now you know why. Because of his demonstration. Who said that? Everybody was fearful of Khrushchev. They were fearful of him, of his voice. Nobody dared move a muscle. Nobody would dare say anything to him at that point. He said, the same reason you wouldn't react to me now is the reason that I wouldn't react to Stalin. And you know what? The devil goes around as a roaring lion. Roar, 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 roar. Why don't we react to him? We're paralyzed with fear. We are paralyzed with a fear. All it is a roar. All it is a loud shout. But our fears, they paralyze us from fulfilling the calling of God in our lives and doing what God wants us to do and maybe even just witnessing to that neighbor. We are so fearful of that person. And we're so fearful of the roaring lion. He goes around seeking whom he may devour. And the, you know, the storms in our life, they cause us to fear. And Jesus is so concerned because that fear keeps us from reaching our destiny. It's perfect love that casts out fear. Perfect love. Come to the foot of the cross. Look upon the Savior who loved you with arms outstretched. Think about the God who loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Think about that. Perfect love casts out fear at the foot of the cross. And then after you've been to the foot of the cross, you can lean back into the everlasting arms of a loving and gracious God. And then, too, we can echo the words of the old hymn, God will take care of you. He will take care of you. Sometimes we miss the boat on our destiny. We miss the boat on our destiny. We don't realize and reach our destiny. God's plan for a life. Because fear keeps us from it. The storms of life keep us from it. They were destined to go to the other side of the lake. The disciples thought they would never make it. Fear paralyzed their faith. And then on a peaceable life, we can miss the boat on a peaceable life. You can still have peace and joy in the middle of storms. But some people missed the boat here. There was a woman in a community who was well known for her simple faith and great calm in the midst of many trials. Another woman who had never met her but had heard of her came to visit one day. I must find out the secret of her calm, happy life, she thought to herself. And she met her and she said, so you are the woman with the great faith I've heard so much about. And I love her answer here. No, came the reply. I am not the woman with the great faith, but I am the woman with the little faith in the great God. That's what we all should be able to say. I'd rather have little faith in the great God than a lot of faith in myself or my ability. God is the answer to our problems. God is the answer to our needs. And God is greater than any problem. He's greater than any storm. And He promises to take care of us. And then sometimes we miss the boat, and this is an important point, on calming the real storm. Sometimes we worry about storms that are really insignificant storms. And the real storms in life we don't do anything about. Victor Hugo, in his story 93, tells of a ship that was caught in a dangerous storm on the high seas. At the height of the storm, the frightened sailors heard a terrible crashing noise below the deck. They knew at once that this was a new noise that came from the cannon, which was actually a piece of the ship's cargo, part of the ship's cargo that had been broken loose. It was moving back and forth with the waves, and then every once in a while, it would crash against one of the sides of the ship. And then it would roll to the other side of the ship, and it would make a terrible impact on that side of the ship. The sailors knew that this was going to tear their ship apart from the inside out. And knowing that then it would cause the ship to sink, two brave sailors volunteered to make the dangerous attempt to retie the loose cannon, to go down into the belly of that ship and reseal the cargo, and specifically that loose cannon. See, they knew the danger of a shipwreck from the cannon was greater than the fury of the storm. The chances that they would sink from the loose cargo and from that cannon was greater than what they thought they would sink in trying to ride out the storm. And you know that happens in our life, in human lives as well. Storms of life may blow about us, but it's not these exterior storms that threaten to devour us. Those storms are not the storms that bring the greatest danger. It's the corruption or it's the lack of faith within us that is doing the real damage, that's doing the greater damage. The damage isn't coming from the storms outside. The damage is coming from what fear and faithlessness is doing in our hearts and doing what's inside is what's destroying us. Paul said that many times there are those that because of a poor conscience and other things that work inside them, they make shipwreck out of their faith and of their lives. We have to be careful not to let that happen. The real storm is not the circumstances that you face. The real storm is not the things that clamor and are the loudest and calling for our attention, those things that would terrify us. The real storm is what those things do to our faith and what they do in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Our hope lies in conquering the wild enemy within us. And unfortunately, sin is the major thing that does the most damage in our lives. Sin inside of us. And unfortunately, sin is something that we cannot cure by ourselves. It takes the power of God. And that's why we need Jesus. And you know what? We fear some of those things that we struggle with. We fear that we're not going to get the victory over them. And then if we cry out to Jesus, we cry out to the victor, and the victor comes and he cleanses us from that sin and he gives us victory over that sin. And we marvel and we say, what manner of man is this? What kind of a God do I serve who is more powerful than my sin? What kind of God do I serve that can give me victory, that I can live in victory on a day-by-day basis? Through Jesus Christ, I am more than a conqueror. Boy, I tell you, when you don't fear the sin itself, and you don't fear where that sin comes from, and you You begin to work and let God work on your heart and let Jesus take control of your life. You come back with all new revelations of His power and of His might. Just like the disciples. Don't miss the boat. Don't miss the boat and fight the wrong things. Fight the wrong storms. Jesus is our hope of stilling the tempest that can harm our souls and cripple our lives. Maybe you're here today and you have shallow faith. You have shallow faith. You're like the disciples. Shallow faith. And you've missed the boat. You've missed the boat on God's promises, on your destiny. You've missed the boat on calming the real storm. You know, God can give you greater faith. You don't have to miss the boat. Stay in that ship. Don't jump ship. Stay in the boat with Jesus and let Him reveal Himself and His power to you. The other kind of faith we want to talk about this morning is waterproof faith. Waterproof faith. I've never read a whole lot about John Wesley, but I do know that he was not the kind of man that would sit back and be idle. He's a very active man. And the little bit I did read about him, I come to appreciate that there was times when he lost his nerve. And one time, during one of Wesley's several Atlantic crossings, a frightening storm broke out. And it was pitching that ship that he was in the ocean. It was tossing it around like a toy in the bathtub. While Wesley and the others clung to their bunks and hid their heads, there was a community of Moravians traveling to their new homeland, and they calmly gathered and held worship like they did every morning. And they calmly got together and peaceably sang praises to God. Watching these Moravians, so apparently unperturbed by the howling winds and crashing waves, Wesley realized he was watching and seeing true waterproof faith. From that moment on, John Wesley prayed that God would give him the ability to likewise ride out life's storms with as much confidence. And that's what I pray for each and every one of us. And that's how we can tell if we have waterproof faith or not, when we can go through life's storms and our faith does not waver or doubt. But we could go into the storm with confidence and courage. What made these Moravians so peaceful in the face of the tempest? It was the same trait that the disciples so woefully lacked in our gospel text. A trust, a complete trust in Jesus Christ. Waterproof faith realizes that Jesus does not promise to calm every storm in your life. Please pay attention to me for a few moments here. Jesus does not promise to calm every storm in your life. But Jesus does promise to calm you in the storm. Jesus cares about us. He cares about us because we care about the storm. Yes, Jesus here. He said, I don't want to make light of the storms that you're facing today. I care about that storm. Jesus cares about this, about you more than the storm itself. He has more power over the storm. He's not really concerned about the storm. He's concerned about you and your reaction to the storms of life. And yes, Jesus hears. Yes, Jesus cares. And yes, He acts. But I've discovered that Jesus does not always act in the way that I wish He would. He doesn't always act the way that I think He should. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes He lets the storm rage and calms His child. I would rather that He calm the storm, but He doesn't always do that. Sometimes He lets the storm rage. But sooner or later, a quiet peace and calm enters my heart, and I know that I can make it through the storm. Regardless of what happens, God will be with us. So many of the fears that we grapple with, fear of rejection, abandonment, failure, separation, and loss, they're all manifestations of life's greatest fear, the ultimate fear, the fear of death. How do we overcome the ultimate fear? By faith. By having a waterproof faith. It is the only antidote. This story is told of Bishop Warren Chandler after whom the School of Theology at Emory University was named. As he lay on his deathbed, a friend inquired as to whether or not he was afraid. "Please tell me frankly," he said, "do you fear crossing over the river of death?" "Why," replied Chandler, "I belong to a father who owns both lands on both sides of the river." Let us not be fearful to cross life's greatest challenges, even the fear of death if it were to await us. Our Father owns both sides of the river. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. Let us pass over. Maybe God is calling you to pass over, to cross over to a new commitment. Maybe God is telling you to cross over into the fullness of His presence, meaning that you have to leave some idols and things that you've been hanging on to. You have to leave them behind. But God is calling you to pass over so that you will have a closer walk with Him. Maybe He's asking you to cross over the lake because there are ministry opportunities over there that you will never be able to have unless you get in the boat and you cross over to the other side. Maybe there are some here today that need to pass over. Let's pass over to the hallelujah side. Three things, real quickly. The hallelujah side, pass over to salvation. If you want to get on the hallelujah side, you have to pass over, cross over into salvation. "Once a sinner far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold, but the blessed Savior heard me when I cried." I love this part. "Then He threw His robe around me and led me to His fold, and I'm living on the hallelujah side." Cross over to salvation. And then pass over to the promised land. The promised land is a place. It's a land of milk and honey in your soul. And you know what? You can have peace in your soul. You can have a calm in your soul. Even though there may be battles and wars and fightings all around you, you can have peace in your soul. That's what the promised land talks about. And the song goes on to say, "For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul, and I'm living on the hallelujah side." And then when you're ready to pass over Jordan and death, you will be able to sing. "And upon the streets of glory, when we reach the other shore and have safely crossed the Jordan's rolling tide, you will find me shouting, 'Glory!' just outside my mansion door when I'm living on the hallelujah side." Are you living on the hallelujah side today? My prayer is that you are. If you're not, why not cross over? Cross over to the hallelujah side. It's a place where, yes, there will be some battles and there will be some gloom, but the sun shines brighter than the gloom because the presence of the Lord is there. Jesus is there. That's the hallelujah side. Well, let us pass over. Get in the boat. Don't get on the wrong boat. Don't miss the boat. Get in the boat and pass over. Cross the lake to the side where Jesus wants you to be. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I think I've told you this story before, but I was reminded of it again in Sunday school class today when Bill mentioned those words to "as God leads us along." Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but He takes us all through the blood. Yes, there are some fires that we go through. There are some storms, some waters that we need to cross. Again, the Christian life is a life of crossing. The pastor of that, the man that wrote that song was a pastor. He was out doing some ministry work, him and his family, and they had pastored a small church in a rural area and had worked all their lives to save money to build their own home. When they came home one evening, some enemies of the gospel had set fire to his home and burned it down. As he sat and saw that fire in the picture of his mind, he wrote those words, "God leads His dear children along." Some through the water, some through the flood, the storms, some through the fire, like the burning of his house, but all through the blood. Yes, there will be storms in life. There will be storms. The Christian is not exempt from storms. There will be storms in life. But Jesus is in the boat with you. And He hears, and He cares, and he acts. He may not act the way you want him to act, but he will act. And he will do what's best for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to get in the boat with Jesus and cross to where he wants you to go, where he wants you to be. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I wonder if there's anybody here, first of all, by an uplifted hand, you would say, Pastor, I am going through a storm in my life. Would you please pray for me? Would you remember me in prayer this week? There is a storm in my life. And I'm in the boat, but I'm scared. And I need to see the power of Christ revealed. I need a new revelation of him and of his power and his might. Anybody here like that? By an uplifted hand, Pastor, would you pray for me? Amen. Amen. I see a bunch of hands. You can put them down. Thank you for your honesty today. Thank you for your honesty. I'm going to remember you this week. I want you to know that you stay in that boat and Jesus is there and your pastor's there with you in prayer. And if there's anything I can do, you just tell me and I'll be glad to do it. You don't need to go it alone. And I want you to know that you're going to get safely to the other side. You're going to pass over. And my prayer is that you'll see Jesus, a greater revelation of him than you have seen before, a greater revelation of his power, and you'll be stand back and be amazed. What manner of man is this? Father, you saw those hands today, those that are going through a particular storm. They're passing over somewhere. Lord, you know where they are and you know where they're going. Continue to lead them and guide them. I pray that this week they would have the assurance that you hear, that you care, and that you are acting on their behalf. Lord, in these cases where you can, we ask that you would calm the storm. And in the other cases, Lord, we know that you will let the storm rage, but I ask that you would calm your child. I pray, Lord, that for those that need victory, Lord, that you would give them victory. Lord, give them the power over sin. Give them victory in their life. May they fight the real storm. May they be fighting the real battle. Lord, that their inward heart would be right with you and their faith would not be destroyed, but their faith would grow and deepen as it's put in the proper place. Faith is to be directed at Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. Another altar call here. How many of you feel that God has been calling you to a deeper commitment? Or he's been calling you to lay aside some idol or some besetting thing that so easily discourages us and gets us down? Or God has been calling you to something. I don't know what. God has been calling you. God's been leading you to something greater, something else. And you know you're going to have to get in the boat to do it. Could I see your hand? Amen. Lots of you. Lots of you. Let me encourage you today. Let us pass over. Let us pass over. Let's not be fearful, because the Lord will go with us. You know, the Bible tells us how he walks ahead of us. He walks beside us, but he's also our rear guard. We are surrounded by Jesus. Father, you saw these hands this morning. Lord, those that are passing over, guide them and direct them. Minister your grace to them. Lord, give them the courage to get in the boat, knowing that you will see them through. And then bless, Lord, as they get to the other side, bless them. Bless them there. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I couldn't decide which hymn I wanted to close with. Let's sing 260. I'm Living on the Hallelujah Side. Let's end it with an upbeat. Let's stand, please. We'll sing the first. I guess we'll just sing the first and last. They're all good verses. The hallelujah side.
Once a sinner far from Jesus, I was perishing with cold. But the blessed Savior heard me when I cried. Then he threw his robe around me and he led me to his home. And I'm living on the hallelujah side. Oh, glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Help me keep the Savior's praises far and wide. Oh, I open up to
just practice, because I know we can do much better. That was just practice. Let's speed it up a little bit too, ladies.
And upon the streets of glory, when we reach the other shore, and have safely crossed the Jordan's rolling tide, you will find me shouting glory.
Toward heaven, the windows of your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, open those up to the Lord. Let the sun shine in. You know, one of the things that discourages us many times is I get discouraged when there's no sun. If I'm locked in the house or something, I can't seem to get out. I can't seem to get away. It's discouraging. But you open up a window and let the sun shine in. It makes all the difference in the world. Let the S-O-N in. Let the sun shine in. And you'll find your attitude changing. Good to have Greg and Jody with us, Joni with us this morning, and actually Pastor Greg now. And would you dismiss the service in prayer, please?
Bless the rest of this day.